Hello and welcome to another episode of Under Western Stars, the little cowboy radio show that comes to you from the old home ranch in Doney Park out north of Flagstaff, Arizona. I'm your host, Tony Norris, and I have asked my old friend Ken Ralston to sing some more songs and do some more poems for us. So, Ken, welcome back.
Why, thank you, Tony. It's good to be here.
Ken, there are a lot of wonderful songs about the desperados and their experiences. I know you do a song called Sonora's Death Row that's a keeper. How about that?
Sure, we can do that one. It's actually, I guess it's really a poem that was written by Blackie Farrell, was it not? And the version that I do was put to music by Robert Earl Keen, I guess. So, and of course I got this from Bill Vernew. But yeah, great song about the evils of drink and nightmares. If you've ever had a nightmare, you might be able to relate to this. I don't know. Me and the boy cinched up our saddle, rode into Sonora last night. With guns hanging proud and daring out loud for anyone looking to fight. Card cheats and rustlers run for their holes, the boys of the old broken nose load up and rained on the street that they named Sonora's Death Row. Mescal was free in Amanda's saloon for the boys of the old broken nose. Saturday night, the town of Sonora, the best in all Mexico. They got guitars and trumpets, sweet senoritas who won't want to let you go. You'd never believe such a gay, happy time on the streets of Sonora's Death Row. Inside Amanda's, we was a-dancing with all of Amanda's gals. I'd won some silver at 7-card stud, so I was out doing my pals. But the whiskey and mezcal, peso cigar, they drove me outside for some mail. Somebody whispered, your life or your money. I reached, but my gun wasn't there. Woke up face down in Amanda's back alley, aware of the fool I had been. Rushed to my pony, grabbed my Winchester, entered Amanda's again. Where I saw my partner twirling my pistols, throwing my money around. Blinded by anger, I jacked the lever, and one of them fell to the ground. Amanda's got silent like night in the desert. My friend stared in sheer disbelief. Amanda was kneeling beside the dead cowboy, plainly expressing her grief. Then as I bowed my head, a tremble shot through me. My 6-gun was still at my side. I checked my pockets, there was my money. I fell to my knees and I cried. Nightmare mescal, that's all that it was. No one had robbed me at all. I wish I was dreaming the sound of the gallows protesting just outside the wall. Mescal still free in Amanda's saloon for the boys of the old broken nose. I'd give a ransom to drink there today and be free. I'd give a ransom to drink there today and be free of Sonora's death row.
One of the classics. Thank you, Ken.
Bet.
I have a fond memory of camping with you one time down by the bullpen out toward the Bradshaws. And we were sitting out on the hillside and the moon was rising, and that's the only place I've ever heard whippoorwills in Arizona. I missed them from Texas, but I could hear them that night. And you recited a wonderful old poem about the face on the floor. How does that go?
It's not really a cowboy poem, although I think it was Tex Ritter or somebody, one of those guys, did a version of it and recorded it. And he called it The Face Upon the Barroom Floor. And that's probably because cowboys and barrooms tend to go together so well, I guess. I don't know. But it's not really The Face Upon the Barroom Floor. It's The Face Upon the Floor. It's written by Antoni de Arce. And as you'll tell from the language in the poem, it's not a cowboy poem. But cowboys sure love this poem. I always like to do it with the Tennessee Waltz, because both in the Tennessee Waltz and in The Face Upon the Floor, you have somebody who lost somebody they loved to their best friend. And, you know, both of those themes are both in The Face Upon the Floor and the Tennessee Waltz. So that's kind of why I do them together. They just sort of, I don't know, just kind of works. It was a balmy summer's evening, and a goodly crowd was there, where they well-nigh packed old Joe's barroom on the corner of the square. And as the songs and witty stories came through the open door, this vagabond crept slowly in and poised upon the floor. "Where did it come from?" someone said. "The wind has blown it in. What does it want?" another asked. "Some whiskey, rum, or gin?" "Here, Toby, seek him if your stomach's equal to the work. Why, I wouldn't touch him with a fork. Well, he's as filthy as a Turk." All this badinage the poor wreck took with stoic good grace. In fact, he even smiled as if somehow he'd found the proper place. Now come now, boys. Surely there are kindly hearts in so good a crowd. Why, to be in such good company would make a deacon proud. Now give me a drink, that's all I want, for I'm out of funds, you know. But when I had the cash to treat the gang, why, this hand was never slow. At that you laugh as though this pocket never held a sou. But I once was fixed as well, my boys, as any one of you. There, thanks. That's braced me nicely. God bless you, one and all. Well, next time I pass this saloon, I'll make another call. Sing you a song? I can't do that. My singing days are in the past. My voice is cracked and my throat's wore out and my lungs are going fast. Say, boys, give me another whiskey and I'll tell you what I'll do. Why, I'll tell you this funny story. And it's a fact, I promise, too, that I was ever a decent man. Not one of you would think. But I was some 4 or 5 years back. Come on, give me another drink. Fill her up, Joe. I need to put some life into this frame, and such meager drinks to a bum like me are just miserably tame. 5 fingers, and corking whiskey, too. Well, boys, here's luck. And landlord, my best regards to you. Well, you've treated me pretty kindly, so I'd like to tell you how I came to be this dirty sot you see before you now. As I said, I once was a man of muscle, frame, and health, and but for an awful blunder, might have had considerable wealth. For I was a painter, not the kind that dabbles on brick and wood, but an artist, and for my age was rated pretty good. I worked hard at my canvas and was bidden fair to rise, and gradually I saw the star fame before my eyes. I did a painting perhaps you've seen. 'Tis called A Chase of Fame. Why, it brought me £1,500 and added to my name. Then I met a woman. Now comes the funny part. With eyes that petrified my brain and sank into my heart. Why don't you laugh? 'Tis funny that the vagabond you see could ever love a woman or expect her love for me. But 'twas true, and for a month or two her smiles were freely given. And when her loving lips touched mine, it carried me to heaven. Did you ever see a woman for whom your very soul you'd give, with a form like the Milo Venus, too beautiful to live, and eyes that would beat the Koh-i-Noor, and a wealth of chestnut hair? If so, 'twas her, for there never was another half so fair. I was working on a portrait one afternoon in May. This fair-haired boy, a friend of mine that lived across the way, and Madeline admired it. But much to my surprise, she said she'd like to meet the man who had such dreamy eyes. It didn't take long for her to know him. Before the month had flown, my friend had stolen my darling, and I was left alone. Then, ere a year of misery had passed above my head, the jewel that I had treasured so had tarnished and was dead. So that's how I took the drink, boys. Why, I never saw you smile. And here I thought you'd be amused and laughing all the while. What's the matter, friend? Is that a teardrop in your eye? Come, laugh like me. 'Tis only babes and women who should cry. Say, boys, give me another whiskey and I'll be glad. And I'll draw right here a picture of the face that drove me mad. Why, hand me that chalk with which you keep your baseball score, and you shall see the lovely Madeline upon the barroom floor. Another drink, and with chalk in hand, the vagabond began to sketch a face that might well buy the soul of any man. Then, as he placed another lock of hair upon the shapely head, with a fearful shriek he leaped, then fell across the picture, dead.
Say, Ken, I always love to hear you sing Sweet Betsy from Pike, one of the best-known songs of the Western expansion. My understanding is that a fella named Stone went to California in 1849 for the gold rush and found out that he could make more money singing in the bars than he could digging in a gold claim. And so that's how he made his living. And he published a little book of songs, some of which were originally called the songbook Putt's Songster. And he would sell them for a penny or a nickel in the bars. And one of the songs in that book is Sweet Betsy from Pike.
Well, that's really very interesting. I never realized that. This version that I do, I got from the movie. Perhaps you remember, I think it was called The Silver Fox, when he's in a bathtub, giving himself a bath and singing this song. And these are the verses that he sings in there. There's a lot of different potential verses for this. People have done it lots of different ways, but that's the way I do it. Do you remember Sweet Betsy from Pike? She crossed the big mountain with her lover Ike. Two yoke of oxen, a big yeller dog, a tall Shanghai rooster, and one spotted hog. Little la-dee-dee-da-dee-dee-dang-fiddle-day. They reached the big desert. Betsy give out. Down on the ground she lay rolling about. Ike in great terror looked on in surprise, saying, Betsy, get up, you'll get sand in your eyes. Little la-dee-dee-da-dee-dee-dang-fiddle-day. Well, they reached the big desert and Betsy give out. Down she lay rolling about. Ike in great terror looked on in surprise, saying, Betsy, get up, you'll get sand in your eyes. Little la-dee-dee-da-dee-dee-dang-fiddle-day. Long Ike and Sweet Betsy attended a dance. Ike wore a pair of his Pike County pants. Sweet Betsy was all dressed in ribbons and rings. Quote Ike, you're an angel, but where are your wings? Little da-dee-dee-da-dee-dee-dang-fiddle-dang. A miner come up, says, will you dance with me? How will you, old dog, if you don't step too free? I'll tell you the reason if you want to know why. Doggone you, I'm chock full of strong alkali. Little la-dee-dee-da-dee-dee-dang-fiddle-dee. Farewell to Pike County, farewell for a while. We'll come back again when we've panned out our pile. Little la-dee-dee-da-dee-dee-dang-fiddle-day.
Ken, one of the things that's so entertaining about cowboy poetry is the stories, just the great stories and the wonderful humor that's brought to bear upon these narratives. What was the first poem you ever learned?
Well, I think the first poem I ever learned was a Bruce Cascadon's poem called Lost Flannelins. Flannelins are long underwear. And, of course, red was probably the only color you could get them in back in that day. I don't know. Great images in this poem and a little bit of that cowboy humor to go with it. Old Greasy John Blair had a shooting affair way back in the year 93. Now, I don't know if it's true, but I'll tell it to you, same as old John told it to me. Said Greasy as he tipped back his chair, "Now that story sure puts me in mind of this suit of red flannelins I got down at Shannon's and some trouble I had with O'Brien. I used to ride line with this Jimmy O'Brien. That winter I sure do recall. We got, as you knows, our tobacco and clothes and went out of town in the fall. Now, we is both plenty tough, but that winter was rough. Made us go prowl our war sacks, till all the clothes we could find, either his or mine, we put 'em right up onto our backs. And those red flannelins of mine were most certainly fine. I didn't begrudge what they cost, but this terrible thing happened long toward spring. My suit of red flannelins got lost. Now, that was just I and Jim, so I blamed it on him. Jim, right away, he got tough. Why, he was never right mild. And when once he was riled, I am present to state he talked rough. Well, it seemed every day we got started some way about where them red flannelins had gone. And the plumb more that I thought, the plumb shorter I got, that my old partner Jim had him on. Well, we'd ate a big bait and we starting out late. That winter was perishing cold. So I walks up to him, I said, "Look here, Jim, I want them red flannelins you stole." Well, Jim's eyes, they got mean. He said, "We'll come clean. I've been hearing this talk quite a spell, and I can't understand how a reasonable man would be wanting red flannelins in hell." Well, it weren't no fun, because he took to his gun, and we shot till the cabin was fogged. The chickens sure flew where the bullets cut through, and some others just plowed into the logs. But when the smoke cleared away, there my old partner lay. So I says to him, "Mr. O'Brien, since at last you have got to a place where it's hot, I'll be taking them flannelins of mine." And I unbuttons his clothes and, well, what do you suppose? He didn't have no underwear. I searched all around, but they couldn't be found. My suit of red flannelins weren't nowhere. Well, about the time the grass rose, I started to shed in my clothes because my underwear was starting to stick. It got clogged up with sweat when I got overhead, so I took me a swim in the creek. I dove in at first and washed off the loose dust and then quite a coating of muck until I finally come down to this layer of tough gum. But I was still just as dry as a duck. So I swam around some till I soaked through the gum and the water got into my pores. Sure made me shiver, plumb down to my liver. So I got out and walked up on the shore. I stood in the sun and I'm a son of a gun. I thought in my soul I died. I had them clothes on, I figures was gone. They'd been plastered right down next to my hide. Well, that Jimmy O'Brien, that old partner of mine, he's sitting down there on them coals, and I reckon he'll wait right up close to the gate just a-fixin' to bulldog my soul. It drives me to drink every time that I think of him fixing it up with old Satan. And all these years, he's just been back in his ears, just itching and watching and waiting. Well, I might make a try for a home in the sky. But that wouldn't be treating Jim fair. I made a mistake, so I'll give him a break, and we'll settle the matter down there.
Ken, flat pick us a tune, would you please? Maybe something like Turkey in the Straw. Turkey in the Straw. You've listened to another episode of Under Western Stars. We appreciate Ken Ralston helping us out today. Under Western Stars is supported and encouraged by the Historic Museum Club in Flagstaff, built in 1931. Has so many stories to tell. Matt Sarnowski is our engineer. Greg Hales also providing technical support. If we don't see you in the future, we'll see you in the pasture. Goodbye.